Okay, so we're diving into some really fascinating stuff today.
Yeah.
You brought some great material on those five hindrances in Vipassana meditation.
Yeah.
Now, Vipassana, that's all about gaining insight through mindful awareness, right?
Exacto.
But as anyone who's tried it knows, you're going to hit some mental roadblocks along the way. Those are the five hindrances we're talking about. So think of this deep dive as your guide to understanding and working with those challenges.
I think what's so important for people to remember is these hindrances, they're not just meditation obstacles, you know? They're fundamental to the human experience.
Yeah.
And understanding them can really help you off the cushion as well.
For sure. And we're lucky enough to be working with your texts here, which really break each of them down in a clear way. So we'll be exploring, you know, how they show up when you're meditating, and more importantly, what you can do about them.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting. These hindrances aren't just, you know, abstract concepts. They have a huge impact on your ability to focus and be present, whether you're meditating or just trying to get through a busy day.
They really do. It's like there are these default patterns that our minds fall into, and they can really prevent us from being present and seeing things clearly.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think it's crucial to understand them, not just for a better meditation practice, but for a more fulfilling life in general.
100%. So let's start with the first one, sensual desire. Now, this isn't just about, you know, lust or anything like that. It's broader than that.
Yeah.
It's more like a craving for any kind of pleasant sensory experience, you know, sights, sounds, taste, touch.
Even thoughts sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like a really engaging thought can pull you in just as strongly.
Absolutely. And that wanting can be a hindrance in itself, even if it's for something positive.
That's so true. Even wanting to have a good meditation, you know, or wanting to understand something quickly can kind of throw you off balance.
Exactly. It's the attachment itself that creates that subtle dissatisfaction and prevents us from fully being in the moment.
Right. So in meditation, you might notice this as like really focusing on how comfortable your posture is, or wishing those birds outside would keep singing.
Or even just daydreaming about something pleasant, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that wanting kind of makes your mind like brittle almost.
I like that brittle. It's a good way to put it, because it's like you're not really open to what's happening right now. You're sort of caught up in this grasping for something else.
Exactly. And that's why it's a hindrance, because that constant seeking for pleasure, it prevents your mind from actually settling down and observing the present moment clearly.
And that present moment awareness, that's really the key to deeper insight in Vipassana.
So what can you actually do about this? Well, your sources suggest a few things, like actively renouncing those distractions, mindfully investigating that desire itself, you know, like really feeling what it feels like.
And even reflecting on how everything is impermanent, even those pleasant experiences.
Well, yeah, that impermanence thing, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like recognizing that those pleasant sensations, they're not going to last forever anyway.
Right, because then it's like, why are we clinging so much?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so moving on to the next hindrance, ill will. And again, this is a little more nuanced than just like outright hatred.
Right. It's more encompassing.
It includes, you know, aversion, negativity, anger, resentment.
Yeah.
Even just like subtle irritation.
And fear, too.
Yeah. Fear, definitely. It's like the general feeling of displeasure towards something.
Mm-hmm. And it can be directed inwards as well. You know, all that negative self-talk, self-judgment.
Oh, that's a big one. That inner critic can be so loud sometimes.
Totally. And it can really block you from making progress.
So how does this show up in meditation? Well, it could be getting annoyed by sounds, you know, like a car alarm going off, or being frustrated with your own body, like an itchy nose or a sore back.
Or just that voice in your head saying you're doing it wrong. You're not good enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's like your mind is boiling water. It can't see anything clearly through all that bubbling and churning.
And I think the danger with ill will is that it can really distort our perception.
How so?
Well, it makes it hard to see the interconnectedness of everything, you know, that sense of shared humanity that Vipassana emphasizes.
Makes sense.
And it can also blind us to the potential for peace and kindness that's always there within us.
So how do we work with this? Your sources point to cultivating loving kindness and compassion as the main antidotes.
Yeah, those are really powerful practices. And it's not just about, you know, being nice to other people, it's about extending that same kindness and understanding to yourself as well.
Totally. And it can be as simple as just wishing yourself well, you know, or sending good vibes to someone who's annoying you.
It's like actively cultivating those positive emotions to counteract the negativity.
Mm-hmm. And your sources also mentioned forgiveness as a key tool here.
Right. Forgiveness both for ourselves and for others. And that can be a really challenging practice, but it's so freeing.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to the next hindrance, sloth and torpor.
Now, this one is all about that feeling of heaviness and dullness, both mentally and physically.
Yeah, like that feeling of just wanting to zonk out.
Exactly. And it's not just being tired. It's more like a lack of mental energy and engagement.
Right. It's like your mind is just kind of foggy and you're not really present.
And it can be really sneaky.
Yeah.
You know, you might think you're paying attention, but your mind is just kind of drifting along.
In meditation, this can show up as having a really hard time concentrating, feeling like you're about to fall asleep, and just having really unclear thoughts.
It's like trying to see through muddy water, you know? You can't really make anything out.
Exactly. And your sources emphasize that this really prevents you from learning and growing because you're just not fully there.
Right. You're missing out on the opportunity to gain insights and cultivate wisdom.
So what can you do to combat this?
Well, your text suggests some really practical things, like changing your posture. You may be sitting up straighter, or even standing up.
Yeah, or even just going for a quick walk to get some fresh air.
And visualization can be helpful too, like imagining a bright light or a sense of energy filling your body.
And sometimes just reminding yourself of why you're meditating in the first place can be enough to shake you out of it.
Absolutely, and thinking about the preciousness of life, you know, and how quickly it passes, that can really help to wake you up.
So true. Okay, moving on to the next hindrance. Restlessness and remorse.
Ah, this one is all about that mental agitation, you know, the worry, the regret, all those should-haves and could-haves.
Yeah, it's like your mind is a washing machine just going round and round.
Exactly. And restlessness is that inability to calm down, you know, that feeling of always being on the go mentally.
And then remorse is that dwelling on the past.
Yeah.
You know, beating yourself up over mistakes or missed opportunities.
And those two, they often go hand in hand.
They do. So how does this manifest in meditation? Well, you might find yourself constantly fidgeting, or your mind might be racing with thoughts about the future or the past.
Or you might just feel generally agitated and uneasy.
And your sources really highlight how this makes it impossible to focus and see things clearly.
Yeah, because when you're caught up in all that mental chatter, you can't really be present with what's actually happening.
Exactly. And it leads to a lot of unnecessary suffering, you know.
So true. So what can we do about it? Well, the key here is mindful observation. Just noticing those thoughts and feelings without getting swept away by them.
Right. It's like watching those thoughts go by like clouds in the sky.
And gently bringing your attention back to the present moment over and over again.
And cultivating a sense of contentment with what is, you know, rather than always striving for something different.
And forgiveness is crucial here too, both for ourselves and for others.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the last hindrance. Doubt.
This one can be really tricky because it's about that uncertainty about the practice, the teachings, even your own ability to progress.
Yeah, it's like that nagging feeling of, am I doing this right? Is this even worth it?
And it can really undermine your confidence and motivation.
It can.
Yeah.
So in meditation, this might sound like, is this really working? And maybe I'm not cut out for this.
Or just questioning everything, you know, the teachings, the techniques, the whole path.
And as your sources point out, this kind of doubt, it prevents you from fully engaging with the practice and reaping the benefits.
Because if you don't really believe in what you're doing, you're not going to put your whole heart into it.
That's so true. So how do we work with doubt?
Well, the antidote isn't blind faith.
Right.
It's more about investigation.
Yeah.
You know, really studying the teachings, asking questions, seeking clarification where you need it.
And ultimately it comes down to practice.
Exactly. Because it's through consistent practice that you start to have your own direct experiences and insights. And that's what really dispels doubt.
It's like you have to see for yourself.
You do. So what does all this mean for you, the listener? Well, these five hindrances, they're a natural part of the human experience.
Totally.
But by understanding them, you're not at their mercy anymore.
You can actually start working with them.
Exactly. And your sources emphasize that recognizing them early is key, you know, before they really take hold.
It's like spotting a small crack in the foundation before it becomes a huge problem.
That's a great analogy. And the thing is, overcoming these hindrances, it's not just about having a better meditation practice.
Right. It's so much bigger than that.
It's about cultivating a clearer, more focused, and ultimately more liberated way of being in all aspects of your life.
I love that.
Yeah.
And remember, the gradual lessening of these obstacles,
yeah,
it's a really good sign that you're on the right track.
It is. It means you're moving towards deeper insight and understanding.
So here's a question for you to consider now. Which of these five hindrances is most present in your experience right now? And what small step can you take today to start exploring those antidotes we've been talking about?
It's something to really reflect on.
Absolutely.